Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Hola, amigos. I am splendid, my friends. Hope you guys are well.
We're doing good, doing good. Man, I'll throw you an easy one. Thursday night, Buccaneers and Falcons. Is the Falcons a point-and-a-half favorite here in this game?
Yeah, they are. Look, this thing is set up to be a barn burner, quite frankly. And I know Tampa Bay is just playing out of their minds right now. Baker Mayfield having a complete career renaissance. He has been magnificent in terms of accuracy, top five in the NFL to adjusted completion percentage. He's even making plays with his legs. He's got more rush yards than Patrick Mahomes, which is kind of crazy in my mind. The guy's found the end zone on the ground as well. I think the key to this game is what version of the Tampa Bay defense are we going to see on the field, right? Atlanta's got their own defensive issues. They're outside the top 20 EPA per play defense on the season. They made a lot of investments on the defensive backfield end, Matthew Judon as well, to really help shore up, contain the ground game. But they've been subpar at best. And you look at Tampa, having Vita Vea, in uniform and back on the field last week, a major shot in the arm. They have some question marks in that secondary, but they've been holding their own for the most part. I think this thing is going to be a barn burner, really, from start to finish. Would not be remotely shocked if the Bucs go in to the ATL and knock off the Falcons in that one and maybe really gain the upper hand potentially in that division. But, of course, the local team in your neck of the woods are going to keep a close eye on this one, to say the least.
We'll throw you a Friday night game, and I guess this is people pulling against Willie Fritz at Houston. But Houston and TCU, I think it's – last I saw, it's like 16 points or 16.5. TCU favorite over the Cougars.
Yeah, I mean, look at TCU. Great horny toads. I mean, the Horned Frogs aren't the greatest in the world right now in terms of, their level of overall production. They've been better offensively than defensively. They've been a bit of a sieve. On the defensive end of things, evidenced by their number 73 ranking EPA per play defense in the nation, but top 30 in offense. And if you look at U of H, they're exactly the opposite, a team that not getting it done offensively, and that's usually a calling card of Houston coach squads, and they just have not really delivered a whole lot of outstanding offensive performances, number 97 EPA per play offense, but defensively, they're top 35 in the nation overall. I think this game is going to be fairly closer than what the spread indicates. A lot of people are going to be laying down the chalk with TCU in this one. But you look at a lot of the advanced analytics that are out there, projections got this anywhere between about a 7 to 10 point victory for the Horned Frogs. So being a gambling man, I'm going to take the Cougs plus the points here, guys.
Saturday in a big game in the SEC, Missouri, Texas A&M, Missouri 4-0. Yeah. And if you look at that schedule, Brad, you get past A&M. I know you got Alabama on that schedule, but you might have quite a run there. Now, you can't take anybody for granted because we saw what happened in Oxford. And Kentucky clocked Ole Miss. Man, their defense was awesome in that game. But your thoughts on Missouri, Texas A&M? I think it's A&M 2-point favorite at home.
Yeah, it was 2.5 yesterday. It's come down just half a tick. There's some money coming in right now in the Missouri Tigers. I think a lot of people are following, at least the public eye, the ranking, right? You're talking about a top 10 team going on the road against a far lower ranked squad in Texas A&M. But I think the Aggies are going to hold strong and hold tough. And I think they're going to defend their home turf and end up winning this game and covering as well. I actually played this Texas A&M minus the 2.5 there. The advanced data really sides with Missouri. I mean, they're a top 25 team in offense and in defense, according to the EPA data that's out there. Texas A&M, number 52 EPA per play offense, number 36 EPA per play defense. They got some question marks there at the quarterback position. But, again, I think, the fans in the stands are going to be a rolling. It's going to be a raucous. It's going to be a rowdy crowd there in College Station. And I think the home team is going to feed off that energy and ultimately prevail on what could be a field goal boot at the end of regulation to win it. So give me Texas A&M squeaking by with a 3-point victory and squeaking by, gentlemen, with a cover there of the 2 points.
Tennessee and Arkansas, we saw Tennessee, and the score was no indication of the dominating play they had against OU, on that Saturday night. And it was certainly a big game for Josh Heupel. He can say, man, it's just a regular game. Come on. That ain't really the case. But they play Arkansas, 13.5-point favorite over the Hogs. Man, you wonder how many more hits can Sam Pittman take at Arkansas. Your thoughts on Volunteers, Arkansas?
Yeah, probably a lot of it's going to be in order because Tennessee is, arguably the best defense in the land. And, being the numbers nerd that I am, gentlemen, the EPA data once again backs up that belief. They are number one in the country in EPA per play defense, and they're also top 10 in EPA per play offense. So very efficient across the board. Arkansas is balanced, but in a negative way. 63 in EPA per play offense. 60 in the nation, EPA per play defense. Projections that I've seen have Tennessee win this by 20-plus. I know it's a road environment. It's going to be a packed house there in Fayetteville. But for me, it's not going to be woo, pig, suey. I think it's going to be a big kablooey issued by Tennessee as a result. So I'm going to lay the chalk there and the 13.5. Again, I think the Vols cover with relative ease on the road.
Man, that's pretty clever, Brad. I give you credit on that. Bills, Texans. This is basically a pick'em game. I think Texans maybe a 1-point favorite. It's one of the more intriguing Sunday games without the Saints on the schedule because the Texans, they haven't necessarily played real well. And I think for a lot of gamblers who people put money, the last thing you see stays in your mind. Buffalo didn't play well Sunday against the Ravens, but that's no indication of who they are. Your thoughts on Buffalo, Houston, and which should be a really good football game?
Yeah, it's going to be an outstanding game, guys. I really think this is going to be a higher scoring affair than most people believe. If I'm going to finish somewhere in the 50s in terms of the game total, I'll bet the over on it. Houston, I got to give them credit. As credit is due is the fact that they've overachieved defensively. I thought this was going to be probably a bottom third defense, but according to the EPA data right now, especially against the pass, they're top 12 in the NFL. And you got Josh Allen really doesn't have a viable true blue number one target. I mean, you can make the argument it's Khalil Shakir. Maybe they're going to be in the market for Davante Adams. That would make a ton of sense. They're going to try to maybe potentially rest away, Tyreek Hill from their intra-divisional rival there in Miami, or maybe go after somebody else like a Deontay Johnson in Carolina. That is an area of need, but that individual is not on the team currently. James Cook has been the bee's knees. He's been excellent on the ground. The problem with Buffalo is they're so beatable right now in terms of their front line. They have been just boat raced and steamrolled by the opposition's ground game. I think, and this is a gut call, even though he didn't practice today, he was close to returning last week. The key to this game is Joe Mixon. If Mixon is on the field, he is fixing to do some damage. A guy that could get 25 or so touches, could exceed 100-plus combined yards, could find the end zone not once but twice. If it's Cam Akers, who's just so vanilla and May and mid in his stead, then I think this game is going to be closer than we all suspect. So, keep your eye out on Joe Mixon. Right now, I'm going to side with Houston in the belief that Mixon does play. And if he does play, that's a massive upgrade across the board offensively. And again, that defense may continue to overachieve and humble somewhat Josh Allen.
Brad, we'll throw it to Monday night, Saints, Chiefs, and watching all four Chiefs games and watching the Saints. You looked at Chiefs. Isn't this almost a mirror image of a year ago with them? But they really struggled on offense early last year. They were carried by their defense. It's still being carried by their defense. You lose two starting receivers and your starting halfback, and you can see another year on Kelce has taken away some of his skills. He's still good, but maybe not the elite player that we had grown accustomed to. But you get in a close game, Mahomes figures out a way to win, and that defense, man, they are good. They lose people each and every year. They lose Willie Gay to the Saints. They trade Snead away to the Titans. And, man, they get after you. They are physical, tough. And I give Spags a lot of credit. Man, he dials it up when he needs to. Great calls on the defensive side, the football. But I really think the Saints got a shot here on the cover because of the fact that if you look at those four games that the Chiefs have played, man, they ain't blowing out nobody offensively unless you help them. Now, the Saints helped Atlanta last week, so you can't have that happen again. But I think the Saints, keep this close against Kansas City?
I say fly the fleur-de-lis, baby. They're a live dog. I think they can win this game outright, quite honestly. In hostile territory there, full-throated fan base inside of Arrowhead Stadium. They're always rowdy and raucous in their own right, but the Saints are just a better team on paper, and really with the eye test as well. Mahomes on the struggle bus right now, and, you know, losing Rashee Rice, and we don't know the official diagnosis. You know, the original fear was a torn ACL. That has not been diagnosed yet. He's got a bunch of knee swelling, so they're going to continue to do some tests, but he's not going to be on the field this week and probably not anytime soon. You know, Kelce had a bit of a revival last week, so, you know, he's still, having the blood pumped in the veins and being a very certifiable, you know, number one tight end target. But Noah Gray could be a key cog for them offensively, maybe Justin Watson down the field as well. They're going to have one of these kind of outside-the-box receivers step up to compete with the defense. It's top five in EPA per play on the season. And Alvin Kamara has just been incredible this year on the ground, really wearing defenses down. Chris Olave has certainly had his moments. Rashid Shaheed has had some massive plays. I think New Orleans, because they're the better defensive team, and right now the offense is firing on more cylinders, than a Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City team, they're going to march into Arrowhead Stadium and win this thing in a nail-biter. Mark it down now, and I'm not saying it because I'm talking to a bunch of New Orleans fans. I think New Orleans does pull off a stunner of the week and knocks off Kansas City at home.
I know it would make a lot of people happy, that's for sure. Sunday night, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and there's a recipe on how to beat the Cowboys, and that's run the football at them and also get after them. That running game's not scaring everybody, and I do know one thing. Man, the Steelers can get after you with those edge guys, and certainly with Watt coming off the edge. Steelers, 2.5-point favorite going up against Dallas. Your thoughts?
Lay the chalk. I think they're going to handle business, and it could be by double digits, quite honestly. This Dallas team is just so bland. They're just tofu right now, pretty much across the board. They're not killing it offensively. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb is a du jour. He can do everything. He is fantastic, no question about it. They don't really have a true number two. Sometimes it's Brandon Cooks. Sometimes it's really Jake Ferguson, the tight end, or Jalen Tolbert has had his moments. And you're right. They got this backfield, and they're kind of starting to shy away from the committee approach and starting to lean on Rico Dowdle. But he's just so average. Yeah. Right? They're not getting it done any way, shape, or form, in my estimation. They're still outside the top 25 EPA per play defense. I'm going to take the Steelers here. I think Justin Fields going to have another killer game this week, multiple touchdowns. Najee Harris may find the zone as well. George Pickens will do some damage in the pass game. And defensively, Pittsburgh is just relentless. And I think Dak Prescott's going to succumb to the pressure there. On the road with the terrible towels flying through the air. So lay the chalk all diggity day long, baby, with the Steelers.
Brad, you've done this a few years. To watch Derrick Henry at 30 years old do what he did Sunday night. I mean, he's an anomaly as a player. I mean, he really puts his body through a grind in the offseason to get himself in shape. But there aren't a lot of 30-year-old running backs. And I can't compare him to anybody over the last 10 years or 15 years. That 6'3", 250 pounds, was a former 200-meter sprint champ. And you saw just how fast he outran everybody Sunday night. You are watching something special in Derrick Henry. I'm not sure we're going to see something like this for another maybe 10, 15 years again, to see a big back who's that fast and can take all those hits. Now, he lays a lot of them out too, but, man, he takes some shots and he keeps on after you each and every play.
Yeah, he's a faster version of Brandon Jacobs, the old Giants.
Yeah,
back,
I agree.
Right?
Brandon grew up not far from where I live.
Yeah, went to SIU, played at Auburn as well, and a guy that had a pretty damn good NFL career. I nicknamed him the football Frankenstein because he was so freakish with his side-speed combination, and it applies to Derrick Henry. I mean, he hit, 21 miles an hour, I believe, on that long run for a touchdown that he had last week. You know, one of the best in business in yards after contact per attempt. Every time he reaches the second level, if you're a DB, you got to make a business decision. Do I, you know, try to, you know, cut him off at the legs, or do I try to, you know, dare tackle him up up top and know that I may have his shoulder displaced and miss multiple games and maybe paychecks down the road? I mean, that's a decision you ultimately have to make in the open field, try to wrap up and take him down, Derrick Henry. He's number three right now in total missed tackles force. He's just a freak of nature, and he is going to do nothing but work this week. Cincinnati, number 28 in rush EPA defense. There's a player prop already available on Henry. Over under 84.5 rush yards right now at BetMGM. Over, over, and over again. I think it's three in a row century mark efforts for the modern-day football Frankenstein, who is just a beast.
Yeah. Brandon Jacobs' son, wait till you get to see him play. He's a big offensive lineman, senior year of high school. He's going to Clemson. He's all of 6'6", I guess about 315 pounds. And Brandon's got another one that's going to be every bit as big. So that's some Jacobs that'll be hitting college football. But his oldest son is verbally committed to play at University of Clemson. So we'll see about that down in the future. Brad, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Muchas gracias, amigo. Enjoy the action this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans.